Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. Tim, we've got a fun subject today. It's actually, it's our second annual time that we've done this subject, and that is Tim's favorite books of last year. So we got to do this podcast last year. I'd like to make it a reoccurring thing. Okay. So if you could just keep reading in 2020, that'd be really helpful.
I'll do
for
my
us.
Best to read some more books.
Awesome.
Well, it was funny. I had been working on my favorite books from last year, and I began to get text messages from some of our people, some of our tribe living across the country. Hey, when your books are going to come out? I got to choose my 2020 books. So I promise we're going to share a list of some of the most beloved books from 2019, last year. And it was heavily weighted on leadership books.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but many of them. But yeah, I'd love to just share with you right now, listeners, some of my favorite books from last year.
Absolutely. Well, this has already been posted on our website, so if you want to go read about it, you can. It's under our blog. But I want to dive right in. So 2019 was a pretty good year for books. We had a lot of great ones that came out. Some of these you read, I think, because they came out this year, and then other ones were from years past.
Yeah.
But walk us through them.
Okay. So this is not in any particular order, but book number one was a real, real favorite of mine called The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger.
Yes.
So several. I was not alone reading this book.
Yeah.
But Bob Iger, as many of you know, is the CEO of Disney, the Walt Disney Company. So he oversees everything. He's the chief executive officer and chairman. And he decided to write a book after he led Disney for 15 years.
Yes.
So some had egged him on to write it earlier. So now I need to be a decade and a half of really being in the saddle. And so he shares insights from his story. So you hear his story on his rise through ABC of more than 40 years. But he ends up at the very, very top where Disney owns ABC and several other companies. And I just found this book to be really good because Bob, the author, is warm and vulnerable as he shares his failures and his successes, what he discovered about his ego, his personality, and his approach to leadership, how he was different than Michael Eisner.
Yes.
Both great leaders, but he was very, very different. And, of course, under Bob's leadership, Disney purchased Pixar, Lucasfilms, Marvel. It's just been a stellar last 15 years. And I love picking up about 10 leadership principles from his story that I'm trying to put to use right now.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look back at his 15-year career, what he has accomplished, especially coming off of what I think a lot of people felt like, would Disney ever be able to do better than that season they had where Lion King came out? And like, I'm thinking about
all of those
films. And really, the tastes changed, right?
Yeah.
Pixar really shifted our expectation of what animation feels like and looks like. And I think Disney was trying to figure out, who are we on the other side of this? They had a few flops in the early 2000s and they're trying to figure out who they are. And then this great leader takes over and not only helps to figure out, there's a lot of amazing people at Disney, but not only does he help to figure out that problem, but he actually helps take them to places nobody would have ever thought.
That's exactly right, including Michael Eisner. So here's a good illustration of this. One of the biggest takeaways I picked up from a particular chapter in this book was Michael Eisner was able to combine two very paradoxical traits: confidence, which we want in every leader.
Absolutely.
And humility.
Mm.
When we are humble, it makes our confidence believable.
Yes.
Because people go, if you're overconfident, they go, you can't be right all the time.
Yeah.
But so here's a good illustration. Michael Eisner felt like Pixar and Disney just could not work together anymore because it was two big egos, Steve Jobs and Michael Eisner, that just were combative.
Yeah.
Bob Iger comes in, reestablishes a relationship with Steve Jobs, and he calls him up one night and says, I got a crazy idea. Maybe Disney could purchase Pixar. It was quiet for a moment, and Bob said, I thought he was going to hang up on me. But Steve Jobs said, that's not a crazy idea.
Mm.
And it begins a dialogue. But notice his humility. This may be a crazy idea.
Yeah.
You may laugh. But then get this humility. He was confident enough to make a big ask, but he was humble enough to say, and by the way, when you guys come over, you lead us because you're the king of digital animation.
Absolutely.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Here's the leader and the purchaser saying to the seller, and you need to lead us in this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! So really worth reading. To, if
Disney could have could have leaned on their laurels and said, "We've made way more money in animated films than Pixar ever has."
Yes.
True statement. Mm-hmm. Very true statement. But instead, they went, "You know what? When it comes to what the future looks like,
these
guys have got their and." You know, these guys are doing this on this gigantic scale.
Yeah.
There's so much we can learn from them for the smaller scales that you and I live on. So I love that. All right, take us to the second book.
All right, book number two. It's a book that's not known as much as it ought to be known. It's called The Outward Mindset. Mm. And it's the third book I've read by the Arbinger Institute. So the Arbinger Institute is a group of authors, psychologists mostly, who write books on just great mindsets. So, Andrew, you might have remembered reading Leadership and Self-Deception, which they wrote years ago, one of my top 10 leadership books of all time. But The Outward Mindset is a new installation, and it's not a parable, which the other books have often been. But it's really a teaching book where it clearly outlines the value of cultivating an outward paradigm toward others instead of our instinctive self-preservation and quick Band-Aid solutions to problems. We're usually trying to solve problems today, not thinking long-term and saying, I need to be thinking big picture. So this book, I think, really helped transform my perspective on how to achieve peak performance by not focusing on me, but having, again, an outward mindset.
Would you say this is about the perspective that comes from being aware of things outside of you, or is it beyond that?
Well, it is beyond that, but it starts with self-awareness and social awareness.
Yes.
So it's social-emotional learning, which we so believe in. But this book, this would be, for all of you out there that might be educators teaching social-emotional, this would be a good book for you to read for you, saying, oh, this is how an adult practices social and emotional learning.
That's awesome. Well, I love the Arbinger Institute and everything they're putting out, so I'm sure this is a great one to pick up. All right, number three.
Book number three. This is a favorite author of many people. The book was called Dare to Lead, and it's by Brené Brown.
Love her.
So Brené Brown did one of the most popular TED Talks, and I've read more than one book by Brené Brown, but this one, it was her leadership book, really, Dare to Lead. And she basically, she's a research psychologist, for those of you that don't know, at the University of Houston, and she explains the power of authentic, even vulnerable leadership with teams. So she has written much about shame and how shame does not help us. We tend to feel ashamed when we've done something really stupid. Mm-hmm. By the way, I've read about that. I've never done anything stupid, but
I've never seen you do anything stupid.
No, of course not.
At least not that we talked about it out loud.
Yeah, exactly, on social media. Anyway, but Brené really is rich with insight as a psychologist on how to lead with transparency, vulnerability. In fact, her big three ideas are brave work. Do brave work that's not just within the lines, coloring within the lines, tough conversations, which we usually shy away from, and then whole hearts. And it's definitely worth the read of anybody listening, if you're, especially if you like Brené Brown.
She's one of the people, I think, who's at the forefront of really undoing some unhealthy, big corporate culture practices. Yep. And I think she's been so essential.
It's so true.
She helps little organizations like us big time. But I think who she's really, really helping is those big corporations who have this sort of, I'm the leader at the top, so I don't need to show any weakness sort of mindset. And she's helping disrupt that, which is amazing.
No doubt about it.
All right, let's do the next one.
All right. Number four, really fun book for me, especially as we went through our reorg at Growing Leaders and really began to double click on our culture. And as we move forward and change, how do we maintain the good features of our culture? So the book is actually called Culture Code. And it's by Daniel Coyle. So believe it or not, Daniel Coyle worked for the Cleveland Indians and does a number of other things.
You're a Cleveland Indians fan.
Well, I am. I am. Yeah. That and the Reds. I grew up in Ohio.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
So I am drawn.
I committed blasphemy maybe.
Well, no. I like the Indians.
Okay.
They're you know, a little north of Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
And they don't have the chili that Cincinnati has. But that's a whole other podcast for another time. This book, as I mentioned, was very timely. As we went through our reorganization, I saw again as I read this book the power that team culture plays and how to create positive and magnetic environments on our team. So it's lots of research and lots of stories. I mean, he's talking about the San Antonio Spurs. He's talking about companies you respect that really practice great culture. And he offers memorable case studies, practical ideas. At the end of each chapter, here's some practical ideas for this great theory I just gave you, which I love. for any team, sports, business, education, military. There's Navy SEAL illustrations in this. So I just highly, if you're in charge of culture, this would be a worth your read.
I've had multiple people tell me this is one of their favorite books of all time. So this is definitely worth picking up.
Good.
Awesome. Next one.
Number five. This is a book that's not yet become as popular as it will become.
You think so?
I think. The book is called The Courage to Be Disliked. The Courage to Be Disliked. And it's by two Japanese authors, Ichiro Kishimi and Fumitake Koga. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
You did a good job,
I think.
I'm guessing, but
yeah, that's right.
It sounded good to me.
Thank you. Well, so I picked this book up toward the end of the year because I was really drawn to the title, The Courage to Be Disliked.
Yeah.
Who has that? Not many.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, don't we live in a day of social media where we want to be likes? We want likes.
Yes.
We want followers, shares. So this book really flies in the face of this push we all feel to just do something that pleases everyone. So instantly, it's a book on leadership because leaders have to maybe do the right thing when it's not the popular idea. And these Japanese authors are both students of Alfred Adler, a 19th century giant in the field of psychology who kind of flew in the face of Sigmund Freud, who came later. But they walk readers through a conversation between a philosopher and a young man.
Oh, interesting.
So it's kind of like a parable in that sense. Uh-huh. But they pause and they say, here's what you need to pick up.
Yes.
And they talk about self-direction, self-care. So you're going to get dislikes and conflict.
Yeah.
Self-forgiveness, and then mind decluttering.
I love that.
So mindfulness.
Love that.
So those are all hot topics. I just think these guys are straightforward. They're great Japanese style is, let me cut to the chase and say, here's the deal. And I went through the book saying, I think I can have the courage to be disliked, even though humanity in Tim Elmore is, I just want to be liked.
Yeah, we think being liked is the win, but it's actually not. Making a difference, getting things done, that's the win. Yeah. I love that.
Yep.
All right, let's do the next one.
Book number six, also a book you may or may not have heard of, but Tim Spiker, my friend, wrote a book called The Only Leaders Worth Following. Now, that's a huge title.
Yes.
Lots of magnitude there.
Yeah.
But he actually started the book with the title Who Not What, because he really believes in all of his research. And by the way, he's a researcher. He's done the bottom line studies on this, that we typically train leaders with skill sets.
Yes.
Or even qualities. You know, do this.
Yes.
And just do that.
Yeah.
Do these behaviors and you'll be a good leader. But we all know it's just not that simple, because we've seen leaders imitate the skills of other leaders and it's felt so hollow and fake and artificial.
Yep.
So this book, Tim Spiker's a dear friend, but I endorse it because it's a good book, not because he's a good friend and he's paying me. Although, Tim, if you want to send a check, I'm totally open. He explains brilliantly why leadership is a question of who, not what. Much like a tree is defined by the root system down below, and the branches and fruit are all subject to the roots down below.
Yes.
He really argues this point, and you begin to see what you need is good people.
Yes.
And you can build good leaders or build good people, and the leadership will kind of take care of itself.
Yes.
It's not quite that simple, but boy, he argues a great case.
Yeah.
Don't think facades of behavior change
is
going to solve the problem.
I love that. The more we focus on skills and only skills, the more we give people a false belief about what life is really going to be like. I would much rather, and I actually think we have a crisis of identity, especially with young people today who just don't know, who am I in the midst of all of this stuff going on, because they focus their entire lives on skills. So I think this is a very timely book for us adults as well as those students, perhaps.
It absolutely is.
That's great. All right, two more.
Number seven was the book called Dare to Serve. Dare to Serve. And the subtitle is How to Drive Superior Results by Serving Others.
Love it.
So this is by our friend Cheryl Batchelder. Some of you might know Cheryl. She is a former president of Kentucky Fried Chicken, but really became well known as she served as the CEO of Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen.
They had a big 2019.
Yeah, they did. Yes.
Couldn't find that sandwich.
That's right. Yes, it really, really was true. So Cheryl is now no longer the CEO of Popeye's, but love that chicken from Popeye's. I just might say that might make a good commercial. I don't know. But anyway, she turned. I just lose all credibility.
Well, I was gonna say, now that we know you can be bought by authors and fast food restaurants.
That's true. That's right. So Cheryl's become a really good friend. In fact, we're going to honor her this year at an incredible event this spring. She is a servant leader. She's a servant leader.
Yeah.
And she went in when Popeyes was on the decline, and when she left, it was on the incline. And she's so sure that it was her work with the franchisees where she said, I'm going to serve you and support you. You're the kings and the queens, and I'm going to serve you. And boy, did that just build trust, because there wasn't trust in some of the relationships there. She talks about it in the book.
Yeah.
So, and we know leadership operates on the basis of trust.
Absolutely.
So she would swear that by now. She won the trust of the franchisees through serving the frontline people. This book is full of solid ideas, but it's always going to go back, whether you like it or not, how well you're serving your people.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it. It sounds like, I haven't read this book yet, but it sounds like it's a combination of really great stories, but also practical ideas for how to solve some of these problems through service.
And once again, I love Cheryl's vulnerability when she says, I didn't do so well at KFC.
Yeah.
I did well at Popeyes, you know. So she's not just
looking from previous mistakes.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So love her honesty.
Love it. All right, number eight.
One last book. This is a book that is, I believe, on the rise. Again, you may not have heard of it, but it's a book called Know What You're For.
Mm.
Let me say that again. Know What You're For by Jeff Henderson. The entire title of the book is A Growth Strategy for Work, an Even Better Strategy for Life.
I love that.
So again, I'm almost thinking you're going to laugh at me now, but Jeff Henderson is a dear friend of mine. But he's a dear friend, and he is followed by many, many, many people.
Yes.
So Jeff spent a good part of his career at Chick-fil-A, learning servant leadership. But even though he's been a friend for almost 20 years, maybe because he's been a friend for 20 years, I can say this guy lives what he says in this book. He has just been a person that's been for other people, and by giving to others, he's been a receiver.
Yeah.
But he focused on the giving. So it's Know What You're For. He presently, believe it or not, he not only worked in the corporate world, he presently leads a church, a large church in Atlanta. And he would say, instead of being known for all the things we're against, which many people think churches are all about, he says, we're going to be for this county we're in.
Yeah.
And he has supported businesses and schools and nonprofits.
I love that.
And in loving and serving the people outside. I know this is counterintuitive, but they have just attracted so many people.
Yeah.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. Well, you mentioned the church as an example, but I think there are so many examples of the negativity that's in our world. And we're predisposed, I think, in work and in life and all of those areas to think of what we're against first, right?
That's right.
That's the current political climate of America, if you want to look at it, is we know what we're against, but do we know what we're for?
Yeah.
And I think that's the spirit of, I think, what he's trying to capture here and what he's done with a lot of the work that he's done is to say, we're going to be first and foremost about what we're for.
Yeah.
In fact, if you have a conversation with me, what you're going to hear about is what I'm for, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the spirit that so many of us need when we're, especially those of us working with the next generation.
Yeah.
What are we going to be for? And what are the students that we're leading? What are they going to hear from us because we're for things?
Absolutely.
I think that's such a better way to lead. So I love Jeff.
Well, and I want to double click on what you said. If you're a parent or a teacher, make sure your students feel like you're for them.
Yes.
So often the kids go, you don't really know me. I don't even know if you're for me. So I love these books so much. We're going to have a couple of these authors on this podcast, on this very podcast later in 2020. So be on the lookout
for
that.
We're excited for that.
But I feel like these books are worth your read.
Awesome. Well, let me go through them just one more time just so everybody can get a listen to it again. The first one was The Ride of a Lifetime, Bob Iger, about Disney. Mm-hmm. The Outward Mindset, which is by the Arbinger Institute. Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. Culture Code by Daniel Coyle, The Courage to be Disliked by our favorite Japanese authors, and I'm not going to try, you did too good of a job for me to try again. The Only Leaders Worth Following, which is by Tim Spiker, Dare to Serve, How to Drive Superior Results by Serving Others, which is Cheryl Backhelder, and then, of course, Know What You're For by Jeff Henderson. Great books. I don't want to toot our own horn, but I want to throw out one last book that came out last year, which was a book that you and I worked on called Generation Z Unfiltered. It's all about helping young people overcome the nine, we think, the greatest challenges that they're going to face just by a byproduct of growing up in the 21st century. If that's a book you haven't gotten your hands on yet and you want to read more about who this generation is, that could be your ninth book that you want to you might want to read.
Well, I want to just say we decided to do something different with this book. We decided to look at some of the challenges that kids face today that past generations didn't face as much.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but many of them are new to the 21st century.
Absolutely.
And so we thought, let's do a chapter helping a reader figure out what this challenge is. But then if you remember, we were committed to saying, we're going to follow up each of those chapters with solutions. Here's research.
Absolutely.
Here's some steps you can take. So research-based, solution-biased.
If you see, if you're an adult in this world and you look at today's generation, what you see are the symptoms of growing up in the world that we grew up in. But that doesn't necessarily understand or lead you to understand the challenges that they're facing. And that's really what we wanted to address, to empathize with them first. What's going on? Why are they the way they are? All that kind of stuff. But then call out of them and believe the best in them to say, I believe you can overcome this challenge of growing up in the 21st century, and that's really what the book is about. So check it out if you want to. It's GenerationZUnfiltered.com is where you're going to find that. You can get the book today. We also have some table topics if you want to have discussions about the subjects in the book with students that you know. So check out that book. As always, if you would rate this podcast, give us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, that would be super helpful. If you want to connect with us on social media, we're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. We love connecting with you there. And then lastly, if you have ideas for this podcast, subjects you want us to talk about, people you want us to interview, maybe you want us to review a book, I don't know, but shoot us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those. So thanks, Tim, for sharing your insights with us from this past year. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.